Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we draw near to you, God, we have absolute confidence, God, that you have promised that you draw near to us, God. We thank you that we're not only here this morning to have fellowship, we're not only here to hear somebody's opinion about some things, God, but we're here to meet with you, Lord, primarily, Lord. We're here to worship you, we lift up your name, and we look forward and we have an expectation, God, to receive from you, Lord. And to meet with you and to be transformed, God, in Jesus' name. So we commit ourselves, Lord, to you in this moment, Lord. We thank you that we can choose to lay aside whatever would distract us or whatever would consume our minds, Lord. And we come to you with heart, mind, soul, and body, Lord, and all our strength, Lord. And we declare that we are slaves to righteousness this morning. Have your way in us, Lord. Establish your kingdom in us and through us. This morning, Lord, and let your name be glorified in our midst, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's been an interesting season in terms of what God has been saying in intercession and prayer, and part of what's come through is just very basically our dependence upon the Word of God, our relationship with Scripture, and it's just been. I'm just going to share a few brief thoughts around that. But I'm really trusting God not only for us to be reminded and to be inspired of by Scripture and about the Word of God, but also I'm trusting for something to be established in the spiritual realm. In this community, in terms of, when you preach the word, there are a couple of things that happen on a couple of different levels, if you can say that like that. I had a long conversation with somebody recently about dimensions. It's quite interesting if you think about it. Anyway, and how because God is outside of time, He lives in a completely different dimension that we see around us. We think our world is three-dimensional, but it's not, because our God is bigger than that. He looks at time like this thing. He looks, can look at it from every side. He's outside of time. In any case, so how did I get there now? Anyways. I was talking to this person about the different different dimensions and how the Word of God and how we as spiritual beings occupy more than the dimensions that are visible around us, and so in terms of our relationship with Scripture and our relationship with God through Scripture, it's absolutely at the core of that dynamic. And still lost my train of thought there. But in any case, there was something important. Maybe I'll get back to it a bit later on. So in terms of okay, so what I was saying in terms of when we preach the word, there we go. When we preach the word, so there are a few things that happen. One of them is obviously the hearers receive the word, and the word gets established in their hearts, and there's a spiritual thing that happens, and there's also cognitive things that happens. But at the same time, when we proclaim the word, as we do when we preach or when we pray or when we prophesy, there is something that happens in the spiritual realm around us. Okay, so I often see it like a stake. In the old days, apparently in the Wild West, or when the people went into uncharted territory, or into country where there was the land wasn't really claimed yet, if you can call it that. Or then people would go and they would put a stake in the ground and say, "This is mine," and kind of stake out the land and make it say, this bit belongs to me now, okay? And the Spirit, I believe it's similar to that. There's certain times when we make a declaration and God gives us to declare or to establish in the Spirit, and it's like we're driving a massive stake into the ground and we're saying, this is the truth right now, right here, and it will not pass away. It's true for this place. It's true forever, and it turns something in the spirit. Amen. Are you with me? So whether immediately everybody in the country picks up the word and starts reading it, it's not going to be like that necessarily. But once it is shifted in the spirit, once it's been established, once the stake has been put in, and as we keep praying it through, it happens. Are you with me? Okay. And I've seen that often in terms of prayer people for prayer for somebody's salvation. You would kind of pray that prayer of faith way before the person is saved. You kind of, Lord, this is it feels impossible that this person can be saved. But you pray that prayer of faith, you prophesy, you put that stake in the ground and you trust. And maybe only many years later, that person would come to faith. But that work has been continuing in their life. Are you with me? I was just actually chatting on Friday with some of the guys about a couple of people that I know that actually friends of my sister in high school. She had two friends that were, you know, Christians, they're still Christians. And specifically, they had moms that were believers, but their dads were not believers. And I remember the one family specifically, there was the father was a guy from the Czech Republic, which is quite an atheist country. And he came to South Africa and he married an Afrikaans girl. And beautiful family, great guy, but not a believer any stretch of the imagination. And he got born again a couple of years ago after many years of prayer and many years of, you know, trusting. And it was such an encouragement. And the other friend also, her father also, he was a very clever guy. He's like I don't know how many doctors, PhDs he got. He's a veterinarian. But he also, after many years, probably 30 or more years of marriage to a believer, both of them got born again. Just say, encourage me again. Okay, so back to the scripture. So we're going to trust for something. I'm just going to pray into that this morning quickly before we go into the scripture for that to be established. Father, we thank you that as we hear your word, we also proclaim it, Father. And as we add our faith together as believers this morning, we trust God for the truth to be established and to be staked to be established right here in this community, Father. A truth about your word, Lord, a truth about the scripture, Lord, a truth about you, Father, and about what you're doing in this nation, Lord. And we're trusting for you to do that work in the Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for warring angels, ministering angels that work with us this morning to establish your word. And that, yeah, that we can co-workers with what you're doing, Father, right here, right now, in the Spirit, Lord. And we put our faith together and we trust, and we not only for something to be established in our hearts, but for something to be established right here in this community and in this nation, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'll have to hurry. Let's do that this morning. Okay. Firstly, just some very basic principles, right? The word is like a bread, okay? I don't know how fond of you guys are fasting. Yes, no, you know, you're excited about that. We're having a global fast coming up end of July, okay? So don't miss that out. This is from the, actually, same day that the holiday club starts. It's going to be great. And so prepare yourself. If you're not used to fasting, you can, you know, do one day this week and then 2 days the next. And by the time we get there, 3 days is going to be easy, okay? Spiritually, some of us think it's cool to fast off from the word. Have you seen this thing Bear Grylls did the other day with a couple of guys and he put on an island? I just saw a little bits of it. I'm kind of intrigued. He basically took, I don't know, a couple of British guys, British men from all different backgrounds. None of them really survival experts or anything like that. actually some of them the extreme opposite of that. And he dumped them on an island somewhere, and he would and gave them some very basic tools and some very basic principles of survival. And he wanted to, and they didn't even have camera crews there. That they had to film it themselves, right? So that was like, it looked quite authentic to me. Okay, I suspect they probably had an emergency backup plan if somebody were to get what bitten or something, you know. But it was just amazing to see, you know, how after a day of no water, the guys made a plan. They just made it happen. And then after like 2 days of like very little to eat, like snails, they ate some snails, and the one guy ate a scorpion. And then the guys, I think it was 2 or 3 days, but they had like very little to eat. And then they found an alligator. So 3 days before, they would have probably run from the alligator, but now they thought, food. And they actually caught it. In any case, but spiritually, we cannot go along without food, guys. We cannot expect to have life in abundance if we're not eating spiritually, if we're not nourishing ourselves spiritually. Let's quickly have the look at the word very quickly at some scriptures. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answering the enemy, answering Satan as he's being tempted. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, if Christ says this, and he lives by it, how much more do we need that in our lives on a daily basis? We need to live from the word, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. 1 Peter 2 speaks of how we are nourished as young believers. From the Amplified Version, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation. Now, Amplified says, like newborn babies. And obviously, the scripture speaks of milk, and then it speaks of meat. So there's a progression in terms of our capacity to be able to eat the word. But yeah, guys, I just wanna, if I think about like newborn babies, my boy now is what, 9 months now, is it? It's getting on. But he gets this. He eats. Okay, and I don't know if you've seen a newborn or even a few months old baby, when they want milk, they tell you about it. Okay, they're not going to take no for an answer, and they will put the alarm on until they get something to eat. Okay, so he says that earnest desire. This is the thirst for that earnest desire is what we should have for the scripture, for the word, for the milk, so that we can be nurtured. And if you quickly look at the whole picture of when you training for a battle or for a race or for something, these days, these guys have sports nutrition is such a big thing. Hey? It's amazing. People make, I don't know, gazillions of pounds just, you know, on this thing. But it's such a big thing, and we think we can be victorious. We can run the race of life without proper nutrition. We think, no, you know what? I'm just gonna wing it. I'm just gonna go for it. Hope for the best. But Peter's saying, guys, we need proper nutrition to run this race. Okay. Proverbs 4. Oops. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. This is powerful stuff. This is not only a spiritual life, right? There's even the very powerful, when you look at the different aspects of that later, dynamic of physical life to the flesh when we put in the word. When we make sure we nourish ourselves in the word of God. And not only put in, but put out as well. And that's where the powerful thing comes in. If you haven't put it in, it's near impossible to be able to put it out. In other words, to apply it at the right time. Abigail, She hasn't got a proper Bible yet. We're working on that. But we do the Bible stories at this stage. And I was so... It was funny, but it was also very encouraging the other day. I told you about she's trusting for David to walk, okay, for God to heal him. I told you about that. She's trusting, you know, for the lame man, and God healed him, and now he can walk. So she's trusting for David to be able to walk, which is amazing. He's getting there. But now the other day we did the thing where the story where Jesus was in the boat, and then the storm, and then he spoke to the storm and the wind, and I can make noises, and I can demonstrate how big the storm was. And so yesterday we're sitting in the garden. No, Friday we're sitting in the garden having a meal, and there was some wind. So Abby, in her most commanding voice, she goes, "Be quiet, be still." She points like this, you know. She gestures to the wind. I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be one mighty woman of God someday. She's going to talk to the weather. I tell you what. I said, just add in Jesus' name. I reminded her of that. And she's, you know, but how blessed is that? And that is the challenge that we face. Is that this is not only for us, guys. What you and I eat, if you have any desire to leave a legacy spiritually, if you and I have any desire to have anything, you know, to leave anything beyond our own life, this is absolutely crucial. Are you with me? So when I read scripture, it's not just for me. It impacts what I do, how I do it, impacts my family, it impacts the father that I am. And it's only if I'm put it in that I can actually give some to my family. Amen? To those around me. And the same person that I was speaking to the other day, she was wrestling through a whole lot of stuff and lots of attack. And I said, have you ever thought why the enemy is trying to take you out? You know, and we don't think of it like that. But I said, God knows. The enemy has this understanding of how God works. And he knows if the kingdom really comes through our lives, it's not only you that is the problem. Your children are going to be a problem for him. And your children's children are going to be a problem for him. Are you with me? And this the other way around, the kingdom of God coming through your life means it's going to come in your children's lives. And it's going to come in their children's lives. And we're going to impact nations. Right? So when you are thinking about praying, when you're thinking about fasting, when you're thinking about equipping yourself, when you're thinking about nourishing yourself in the Word, don't think, you know, pros and cons about me. Think generations. Think, okay, this is not for me only. I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to walk in the victory of the cross because of what God is not only doing in my life, but in the lives of those that are to come, the generations that are coming from our family. Think eternity. Think not only physical, think of the children in the spirit that are coming. Think of the generation in the spirit that is coming after and the generation after. Amen? So in a similar way that I've mentioned this example with a pregnant lady eats specific things and nourishes herself because of the seed, because of the life that is growing in her. In a similar way, it doesn't matter where you are in life, there's a seed of destiny, there's life growing inside of you. And we have this amazing privilege of nourishing that with the Word. Amen. Okay. All right, so there's a nourishment, there's a bread, there's a daily bread, there's a daily desire for it. We're going to pray for that at the end, let me just go back to that. In terms of appetite, guys, again, okay, it's such a blessing to have children, you learn such a lot. But we've all been there, so we can think back. Okay, so it's not natural, kids don't naturally like everything. They don't like the taste for everything. Have you ever given a child a olive and told them it's a grape? I know somebody that has done that. Yeah. But have you ever taken an olive and thought it was a grape? It's also bad. In any case, so children that like everything, they don't like all vegetables, but the more they eat it, the more they have appetite for it. Okay? If you don't if you know, if you eat something and you know it's good for you, it might be terrible, it might taste terrible, but the more you have it, the more you discipline yourself, the more you actually create, you can create an appetite for it. Okay, unfortunately, it goes both ways. It goes for bad stuff as well. Okay. But I was saying, guys, if you're struggling with this, if this is something that is a challenge, trust God to establish an appetite. Trust God to start and to create a capacity for the Word, an appetite for the Word. Some of us, you know, I've heard people say, you know what, I can't go out the house unless I've had that first coffee. And it can't just be, you know, instant. It has to be the real thing. I don't know, none of you are like that. I know you guys don't have any addictions or convictions. Or but, you know, some of us, we have to have that coffee or that third one or the fifth one, you know. But if I haven't had the fifth coffee by 10, then I'm in trouble. But I'm sticking to one a day at this stage. But isn't that powerful if we live like that with the Scripture? You know what, I can do a lot of things, but I cannot leave the house until I've put the Word in, until I've strengthened myself in the presence of God, until I've fed myself on the Word. Okay, let's go on. Scripture in terms of weapon for warfare. Ephesians 6, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, that's talking about the armor of God, and talks about the most of the armor that it speaks of is defensive. Okay? But this one, the sword, is both. You can defend yourself with the sword, but you can also launch an attack. Okay? It's a weapon for warfare. And Anna told me that this Bible study thing that the ladies are doing, we hoping to do something for the men soon. I'm just making up my mind for what exactly we're going to do. But the one example the lady uses is just how when you're in a situation where you need to be able to apply the Word and you find that you don't have what it takes, it's, you know, it can be lethal. It can leave you in a vulnerable place. And most of us have been in that spot where you're in a situation where you don't have the tools to do what you need to do. As a man, or I suppose it doesn't have to be a male, but you, if you have to fix something and you know exactly how to do it, but you just don't have the right tools. I don't know, for me, there are a few things as frustrating as that. And you don't necessarily have the money to go and buy the new tool now. It's just like, I know I do this. And then you try to improvise and you frustrate yourself some more. You know, I think in the kitchen it can be similar. I know has had some, you know, there's just, she wants to do this thing. She knows how to do it. She knows what to do. But she just needs this one gadget. It costs £400 or something like that. I'm just kidding. Okay, and I'm like, yeah. But, and in my mind, when Anna told me that example that the lady used in the course, the picture that's always in my mind is that I'm facing an enemy, or I'm facing a wild animal or something, or I'm facing something that wants to kill me, and I have a weapon, right? I have a sword, or I have a blade of some kind, and I whip it out, and I'm ready to defend myself, and I realize, my goodness, I thought this was a massive sword, but actually it's a penknife. You're thinking, yes, I'm going to defend myself with the Word, but actual fact, the Word that you have is only this big, and you're not going to do much with a penknife against this roaring lion. Okay? So when you're in that situation, you want to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit against the enemy. Amen? ready to defend your household, defend whatever the enemy throws at, you know, whatever he wants to throw at you, but also ready to go on the offensive, to fight for what God has promised, to stand on, to take a hold of the victory for which Christ has died, to claim the land that he has promised, not only for your family, for us as a congregation. So there's both again. There's a defense, but there's very much also there's an offensive that we go onto as well with the Word. Okay. Let's look at Hebrews 4 briefly. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jeremiah 23. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The Lord is powerful. The word of the Lord is powerful. And the more you and I equip ourselves, the more you and I expose ourselves to the word, the more we are able to apply it when the moment arrives. Okay, one of the stories, I've mentioned it a lot, and I'll mention it again. It really encouraged me when I was doing Bible school years ago. The pastor told the story of him in a shopping with his baby boy, and at that stage, well, I suppose still today, the health and safety isn't so hard in South Africa. So this baby was sitting in the trolley, and it was, as babies do, reaching out for something, you know, going for something on the shelf, I suppose, and lost his balance and fell over, and he fell on his head. And immediately he could see this is a bad one. So there was blood from his ears, and his eyes just, you know, eyes inverted like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they went all white. And he obviously had a massive shock. But in that moment, he had his sword. And the word, and the Holy Spirit put the word that he had internalized, memorized scripture. Such a place that he could immediately, the word came, the Holy Spirit reminded him, and he spoke, and he said, you will not die, but live and proclaim the works of the Lord. And he spoke it over that little baby boy, and immediately he came to, immediately. He was 100% fine. So in that situation, guys, you know, we dial 999 or whatever, we go in a panic and, but if you have this word, if you have the weapon, if you have the sword, you can apply it. You can speak it. You can proclaim it, and there's life there. Amen. Often, you know, when there's, you know, whatever, when there's something in the house, or you feel that enemy is trying to get at your family, whether it be the extended family, such a blessing to be able to apply the word. When we were in South Africa last time, for the first time in my life, I don't know if I told you this, I walked around our property, my parents' property, it's like a small farm. And I've prayed around it a lot, but for the first time I walked with my dad, and we prayed together. And it was so powerful. I did most of the praying. But he agreed with me, and he came with me, and we anointed, and we spoke life over the place. It's in an area where lots of people have been murdered. It's not safe for people to live there anymore. But we walked around there, and we prayed the word, and we spoke and prophesied up, you know, we anointed the place, and I know God is with him. Amen? It's the sword of the Spirit, and we cannot underestimate the power of the word that God puts in our mouths. But we have to put it in there. Amen? We have to equip ourselves with it. How much more when we are protecting our family, when we are standing on the promises of God. Amen? Okay. All right, let's go on. These days, you get lots of coaches, right? So years ago, you had like sports coaches, but these days, there's like coach for everything. Okay, you get life coaches, and you get business coaches, and you get, I don't know, what else? You get career coaches, and the guys make lots of money, and they coach people. I've got good news, guys. You can have lots of different coaches, but the most important coach is the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you have that coach, and the thing is with a coach is you submit yourself to a coach, okay? You can pay lots of money for a coach, but if you don't know do what they say, you're going to waste your money and your time. And if you don't go to the coach or go to the training session, you're wasting your money as well. But the Word is the best coach. If you need wisdom, if you need direction, if you are at loss, you know, if you don't know what to do, if you don't know which direction to go, just go to Scripture. Because it's life. It's powerful. Holy Spirit. I remember when I was filled with the Spirit, my relationship with Scripture changed because it was so alive. Suddenly it was so real. It was like those, you know, those scriptures that jump out to you and you're like, you know, hit you on the chest and you're like, whoa. Or that, you know, the moment where you read the Word and you're thinking, my goodness, this is God speaking right to me right now, right here. Or in the context of a church service, you know, the guy speaking in the front and you kind of thinking, somebody told him about me, you know, he knows everything. But that's the power of the Word. That's the power of the Word through the Holy Spirit giving us direction, showing us where to go, showing us what God has in store. Psalm 119, that's a good psalm to memorize, okay? Okay, old joke. The longest chapter in the Bible. Okay, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And the verse 130, entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And light and the lamp and the light, for me, it's always such a beautiful picture of God. A lamp is a kind of a local thing. Okay, for me, it's such a beautiful picture of God showing us the next step. Right here. Okay, there you go. Next one. And then once I can see the next one. It's right here. It's personal. It's immediate. And God directs our steps. Amen. And the lamp is almost as if it, or the light is almost those direction that He gives us in terms of that's where I'm taking you. The vision that He gives us. The direction that He gives us in terms of you know, strategy, vision for the family, vision for the body, direction and vision. But we can trust Him for that. I mean, if there's anything, guys, and this is we often people think, you know what? The Scripture doesn't say anything about accounting, doesn't say much about this or that or the things, you know, or electronics or stuff like that. But who created those principles? Who created those things? It's God. If even, you know, even in whatever you may face, whatever situation, even at work you may face, Scripture and by the Holy Spirit, there's a solution there. There's an answer there. Okay, don't underestimate the power of the Word. All right, James chapter 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If you want to be blessed, what you do. If you want to, you know, Joshua, when God gives a promise to Joshua, he said, you, whatever you do will prosper if you meditate on this. If you keep the word in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth, you will be prospered in whatever you do. So there's a good incentive, guys. If you want your children to prosper, if you want to prosper yourself, if you want to be blessed in what you do, be a doer of the word. I mean, first, in, you know, put it in and then be a doer of it. Are you with me still? Okay. Guys, this is not rocket science. I'm really trusting for something to be established in our hearts and in this community. Okay. Now, I remember preaching my first sermon. Somebody asked me about this the other day when my first sermon was. And I just think it just wasn't a difficult one because you remember stuff like that. It was in Malawi. On a mission trip, and I was quite clueless, to be honest. I had a word that I believe God gave me, and it was very simple. It was the parable of when Jesus, the account of when Christ walked on the water, and yeah, when Peter got out and walked with him, etc. And it was Malawi. Obviously, it's got the Lake Malawi. So I used that kind of whole picture and it was just the grace of God. But there, I learned the power of the Word, because I was clueless. This is my first sermon. I was a student, actually. Yeah, at the time I was in between studies, but I was first year again. That was my second first year, and so I was really not, well educated in the Word even. But I brought the Word of God, and what I learned that day is to have a confidence in the Word. When you preach it, it goes and it does what God has sent it to do. And I remember that day seeing, firstly, it was quite a big crowd of people come to hear, which was astounding. Because they were obviously curious about what this white guy has to say. But the people that came to salvation that day, and it was not because I had any qualifications, but it was because of the Word. Okay, and the Holy Spirit. And let's quickly read here, 1 Peter 1:23-25. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Again, I want to encourage you, if you've been praying for somebody for salvation, pray Scripture. Speak Scripture over them. And don't stop. If there was a word at your child's dedication, or God gave you a word for them, and you just don't see this in your child's life, it's just not there. They're going to be this whatever, and you're like, no, this is not happening. Everything is the opposite. Don't despair. Don't get discouraged. Keep on speaking the Word. And know that, obviously, when you look at the parable of the sower, there are things that oppose the seed, definitely. But I believe that seed, will continue to do what God has called it to do. Obviously, there's a point where every person has to choose. Amen? But I believe that even until that point, obviously, when the person chooses to go against, that's another story. But that seed, that word, that seed of the Word that is spoken over them and into their lives, continues to accomplish what God has sent it to do. And the same with your workplace, the same with your, our community. Speak the Word. And know that it will accomplish what God has sent it to do. It will endure forever. That seed will not pass away. That's why we pray protection over the seed of God. We pray, that God will seal it. I remember learning also that sermon, Pastor Sias coming alongside me afterwards and saying, okay, now we seal the Word. We pray protection over it. We trust God for fruit from that seed. There's a responsibility in terms of it as well, but the Word endures. Amen. Okay. All right. Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Isn't that an amazing promise? It will prosper. It will accomplish for that thing with God. That also means? It means it's not always what we think. It's not always what we intend, but it's what God pleases and what He wants to establish. But again, if we don't put it out there, if we haven't put it in and we're not putting it out, if it's not in our heart and in our mouth, how can this happen? Okay. Okay, let's go. Oops, okay. I've got In terms of sowing seed, guys, Abby is now turning 3. And I'm really amazed how the seed of the word is already working in her heart. Okay, she's not a saint, okay? I know she looks cute and everything. But she's got her moments, and she is a sinner. Okay, let's just face it. But it's really powerful to see the fruit of the word already in her life. And I'm really expecting. And it's really a blessing as a very fallible human parent to see that we can have a confidence in the word that we put in our children's lives. And we can have a confidence in the Holy Spirit. We can have a confidence in the power of God and not our qualification or ability as a parent. Amen? So I just want to say, guys, when we sow, I want to say, what are you sowing? Have you got seed? Have you got scripture that you are sowing? Have you got seed that you are sowing in terms of scripture, in terms of word, into your family, into your work environment? When last did you go to office a bit earlier, when nobody's there, anoint the place, and sow incorruptible seed? When last did you walk your street and sow? It's a blessing of having small children and prams and things. You're forced to slow down and to their pace, especially if they insist to walk. But what a great opportunity. Often, even when I cycle, it's a bit more difficult. Maybe it says something about the way I cycle, but, there's not much time to to pray. You just pray that you don't fall, type of thing. But when you're walking, or even, maybe when you're running, or even when you're going with the children, drop those seeds. Lord, salvation to this house. Speak the word. Drop the seed. It's incorruptible. Okay? For your workplace, for your extended family. When we go to Anna's parents' house, it's also there's different dynamics. There's challenging, same as our parents' house, but there are always opportunities to sow seed and to pray and to sow those incorruptibles. So first I'm asking, are you sowing? Have you got seed? Have you got internalized scripture? Have you, are you ready to sow? And then, are you deliberately sowing? Okay. Lots of challenges. I've got a clip here that I want to share with you. It's quite, the guy, he goes quite fast, but just stick with it, okay? You can always Google it and YouTube it later and go through it again. But it's really just a guy doing like a poem about scripture. And after that, we're gonna pray. All right, so this morning there's a few things. Firstly, I believe God wants us to establish in us and as a congregation a hunger and a thirst. And a desire, a passionate desire for the word. Because I'm preaching it myself just as much as anybody else this morning. And the reality, guys, is that if we cannot expect to have a life-giving relationship with God if we don't have a relationship with Scripture. You cannot, in any relationship, you can't say, I want to, the same way that we can't really have a relationship with the head, Christ, and not a relationship with the body. We can't have a relationship with Jesus and not with Scripture. So my conviction this morning, what I'm trusting for, is for a hunger and a thirst for Him. But along with that, a hunger and a thirst for the Word. Christ, when God sent Christ, He gave His Son, and Christ is, He is the Word. He was right there from the beginning of Scripture. He's embodied in Scripture. It's God breathed. It's Holy Spirit inspired. It's alive and powerful. And I'm trusting for the shift this morning that we would have that hunger, that insatiable hunger for the Word, hunger for His presence, hunger to delve in, hunger to nourish ourselves, but also to invest. In the generations to come, to invest, to sow seed unto eternal life, seed that is incorruptible. Okay, Let's close our eyes this morning as we pray.
As Yaku was preaching, I was just reminded, I would just like to share just three things just that's come from this study. And I think lots of the women, we're in that at the moment. So I'm literally still getting grips to that myself. But just the one thing that just to encourage us is to, as we just submit ourselves under the authority of the word, we come to that place where we know and believe that God is who he is. And that's like, that is crucial for us to understand this specifically what Yaku has been preaching on. This is God. This is his inspired word. And two things that he just showed me, and I think we can just pray for that this morning, is one form of pride can be when there's something in your life that you actually just think, you know what, I've given up in asking God for this or trusting him with this because it's, you know, it's never going to change. Or even if you think of this person, they are so lost, there is just no hope. And that's actually a lie, because God's authority is the ultimate authority and there's nothing greater than it. So that's the one thing that I feel we must trust for as well, that if there is anything in your own life that you actually feel this is beyond God, that's not the truth. And then the second thing, I was just reminded of an example that she says her son-in-law, every night he sits with his son and he blesses him and he speaks into his life and he tells him, son, I love you. I celebrate you. There is such a purpose over your life. And, you know, the dad does this faithfully every night and he believes it. And then the son looks at him and he's like, Dad, I want juice, you know, and he's like, oh. And I feel we're the sun in the picture. You know, God, through his word and through us building relationship with him, we see we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. We see the purpose that we have. We see who God is. We get excited who we are in him. But we're so distracted by this juice that we want. So it's a discipline. We need to discipline ourselves to actually choose not to be distracted by this thing that we think we so much, you know, this need that we have, and come under the submission of the authority of the word. And in that place, we grow. And yes, you go out and you pursue whatever, but I've realized it's a massive distraction in my life, and we have to be disciplined daily to surrender ourselves, as Yaku said.
Okay. We're in a season of establishing, okay? We're a season of breaking ground, planting church and establishing church is not for sissies, okay? And and one of the things we're trusting for and we've been praying through in intercession is an apostolic faith to see what is not yet there and to be able to speak it into being. And that faith, you know, Romans, Paul writes to the Romans, he says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What Louis says now, the more we expose ourselves to Scripture, that's how we get to know him. And that's what builds our faith. That's where faith comes from, is when we know him. And we know him by knowing Scripture, by, you know, getting to know who God is in Scripture. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. We thank you that we can humbly come. And we submit ourselves to your word, God. We submit ourselves to you, God. And we declare, Lord, we are hungry, Lord. We are thirsty for you. Like a deer pants for water, Lord, we thirst for you. And this morning, we as a congregation, as a body, as a family, Lord, we trust, we ask, Lord, that you'd give us even more of a hunger. And more of a thirst, Lord, more of a desire for you, God, for your word, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that this morning that you shift something in our hearts, Lord. And we trust that you do this not only in us here, Lord, but in us as a family. We trust that you're establishing something in this community, Lord. A hunger, Lord, a thirst for righteousness, a hunger, a thirst for you. A hunger and a thirst for your word, appetite, Lord. God, and we come and we acknowledge that we often get distracted, as Louis said, by many things, God. We often fill ourselves and we expose ourselves and we nourish ourselves with other things. And this morning we lay those aside and we thank you that we can trust you, that you establish in us, Lord, a desire, an appetite, a capacity, Father, for you, for your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the seed that was planted in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the word that has taken root in our lives, that we can be sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord, for the redemptive work that has started years even before we got born again by the word that was planted, the seeds that were planted in our hearts, God. And we come now, we say, Lord, thank you that you're faithful to finish that, God. We commit ourselves, Lord, to this process, and we ask that you'd do the change, Lord. You'd turn our hearts, Lord. You'd transform us, Lord. And you establish in us that hunger and thirst, God. A disciplined study, Lord. Nourishing ourselves, filling ourselves. God, I thank you. I just see like bags, see like huge mountains of seed. Like big storehouses full of seed, Lord, that you want us to take and run with, Lord. Plant and sow. Thank you, Lord, this morning that we can run with the seed, Lord, that we can take it, Lord, internalize it, but and then sow it, Lord. Proclaim it, declare it, shout it off from the rooftops, Lord. However you point, however you direct us, Lord, but I thank you this morning that we would equip ourselves, that we would take the seed, that we would sow it in our own lives, God, but also, Lord, in the generations to come, Father. In the communities you've put us in, the workplaces you've put us in, every relationship you've put us in, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for incorruptible seed that we can proclaim, that we can speak it, that we can declare it, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that your word is indeed alive and powerful, Lord. And as every eye is closed now, if you have something in your heart, something in your life that you've almost given up on, something that you've almost submitted to that, the thought that says this is impossible for God, or this is beyond what He can do, this is beyond what is possible. If you have something like that in your life, let's just respond to that word for a moment. Let's just bring it before God. Let's just receive the truth that there's nothing that is impossible with God. So if there's something like that, just firstly, just bring it before God quietly and repent, and then just choose to receive the truth. Amen. I'll give you a moment just to respond. Lord, even as a congregation, Lord, we repent, Lord, of things that we almost deem impossible, Father. Your word in this nation, your desire to see this nation saved, Lord, and this whole people, all the people groups even represented in this nation, Lord, your desire to see them saved, to see them come to a knowledge of the truth. Father, and we just now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for a fresh hope, Lord. I thank you for a fresh faith, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that as we expose ourselves to your word, as we fill ourselves with your word, I thank you, Lord, it's like a fountain springing up on the inside, that as your word says that life, or those rivers of living water by the Holy Spirit that flow from our innermost being. Thank you for life that flows out, that overflows, God, and touches everybody around us, even, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I just pray, Lord, for a supernatural capacity, Lord, that we would have a hunger and a thirst. And I pray, Lord, even with that, a grace, Lord, a grace to resist temptation, a grace to resist distraction, and a grace to jump into the river, Lord. Grace to immerse ourselves, Lord, in you and in the word, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for wisdom, Father, that we would invest in our children, invest in the generations, invest in the areas that you call us to sow into, Father, with scripture, with word, what we've put in, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, our desire is, Lord, that your name be glorified in this, Lord. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Even this week, I thank you, Lord, for a new hunger, a new thirst, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.